You know, I'm running out of adjectives. I think everyone is running out of adjectives regarding this particular moment. It's unprecedented. None of us have seen it in our lifetimes. We really have never experienced something quite like this. Even the Second World War touched portions of our globe, but didn't touch the whole world. But this is touching every one of us in all parts of the world. Some of you in college may have taken Psych 101, and you studied a psychologist named Abraham Maslow. And if you remember back that far, for those of you who actually took psychology, you remember that Maslow came up with a pyramid. And he said, first of all, at the base of the pyramid are our physical needs, our need for housing, our need for food, our need for water. He said that until our basic needs are met, we couldn't move up the pyramid. At the second level of the pyramid, Maslow said, was our need for security. First, we have to have our physical needs met, but then we have our needs for security. The security of our body, the security of our economics, you know, our retirement, our investments, and all of that. And if you recall, at the top of the pyramid, Maslow said that we would achieve self-actualization. But all of us need security. And Maslow taught us that without security, we really couldn't move on with life. Now, many of us love rescue stories. In fact, if you have a child, they probably love the rescue stories in the Bible more than anything else. I mean, we love the story of Daniel being rescued from the lion's den. We love his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being rescued from the fiery furnace, the Israelites by the Red Sea, being rescued from the Egyptians who were pursuing them as God parted the Red Sea, Peter being rescued from prison in the New Testament. We love stories of rescue. That's why so many movies are about rescue, Argo. There are TV shows about rescue, like Rescue 911. But when you think about it, even though we love stories about rescue, none of us really wants to be rescued. I mean, what we want is a safe, predictable life. We don't want to be rescued. I mean, if you gave me the choice, would you like to be rescued from a helicopter on top of a towering inferno? Or would you prefer sitting on your couch watching football and eating a bowl of ice cream? I'll take door number two. I prefer the couch and the ice cream and the football game way over being rescued from a towering inferno. And we want safe, predictable lives, not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones. We want to know the future for us economically. We want to know the future for us in terms of our health. And that's where we want to live. But in light of the spread of the coronavirus and the bad news that we've been receiving all week regarding the economy and unemployment figures and all of that, we find ourselves losing our security. And at times like this, what we don't need is more news. Listen, we have all become experts on the spread of viruses. We know how viruses attach themselves to the back of our throats. We've studied pandemics. All of us are global epidemiologists. I mean, we know everything there is to know, and we're passing those articles along to everyone who is in our friendship circle. But right now, friend, you don't need more news. What you need is a sure and certain word from God. You need something to build your life on. And the Bible is what we need right now. And so here is the sure and certain word of God from Isaiah chapter 40. We read this. And Isaiah prophesied this 2,600 years ago during a time of his nation's crisis. Here's what we read. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. So what does God's word say to us during these troubled times? What can we build on that's really safe and secure? Today, I'm going to be sharing with you from Psalm 46, a message titled, God is Our Refuge. Let me invite the presence of God, and then we'll turn to his word together. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would use your word the way you intend it to be used, to create faith, to create encouragement, to save people. Lord, those who are frightened right now, I pray that you would really reveal yourself as our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Lord, grant gifts of faith as I speak. Open up our hearts. Put power on this message in Jesus' name. Amen. And as I said, we all need security. That's what insurance companies sell us, right? They sell us security. And so Allstate tells us that if we buy their policy, we'll be in good hands. And Prudential tells us that we can own a piece of the rock. We can build our lives on the rock. Prudential Insurance. State Farm tells us that if we meet disaster, like a good neighbor, they'll be there. The Chubb Group says that they will offer us peace of mind. You know that you can insure against virtually any conceivable risk you could ever think of. You can buy an insurance policy to protect you from being hit by an asteroid. You can buy a disability insurance policy for your dog. You really, and this is absolutely true, you can buy an insurance policy to protect you against being bitten by a werewolf. There are insurance policies for any and every conceivable risk, and yet, despite all of our plans, all of our fail-safe protection, we've discovered in the last month that our fail-safe protections are indeed failing. No one imagined the coronavirus. And what we're learning from the coronavirus is that the word of God is true. Because Psalm 46 tells us, and said this 3,000 years ago in verses 2 and 3, if we had paid attention, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. In other words, the earth beneath us is not really secure at all. The world will fail. Sailors used to talk about returning from sea and getting back on terra firma. Terra firma means dry land, literally the firm earth. But Psalm 46 tells us there's nothing firm really under our feet. In fact, the earth itself gives way. And so whenever we try to find stability in this world, it will ultimately fail. We have all kinds of refuges and all kinds of ways that we try to find some kind of security in this world, but it ultimately collapses. The truth is there is no firm ground in this world, but God is our refuge. Here's what we read in Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Now, because we are at heart idolaters, we always are looking to find refuge in something other than God. And think with me, friend. What have you been looking to for security, for refuge in this time of crisis other than God? What have you said, my goodness, my protection is now crumbling around my feet? The Bible says to us that we often look for refuge in things other than God. For example, the Bible tells us, do not trust in weapons. Here's what we read in Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Over and over again, the Bible says, do not trust in weapons. And yet what we've seen in America over the last few weeks is there are lines around the block by gun stores. Now, my prayer is that any of you who are listening to me right now, who consider yourselves followers of Jesus, I pray you weren't standing in one of those lines buying a gun. I pray that you, God forbid, that you put your trust in a gun in a time of crisis. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength. What do we trust in other than God? What do we seek as our refuge? We seek to put our trust in money. The Bible says don't put your trust in money. Proverbs 11:28 says, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. I've got to confess that I found a great deal of my trust over the years in my bank account, in my retirement account, in thinking about securing my financial future. Scripture tells us, don't trust in money. Scripture tells us, don't trust in politicians. We try to find our refuge in politicians, but Psalm 118 verses 8 and 9 says, it is better to trust, to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. What do we seek refuge in other than the Lord? The Bible says, don't even trust in yourself. Here's what we read in Proverbs 28, verses 25 and 26. The greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. No matter how much education you have, no matter how great you are in planning the future, no matter how many street smarts you think you have, how savvy you are, if you trust in yourself, the Bible says you're being a fool. The only safe one to put your entire confidence in is the Lord. He alone is our refuge. 50 times in the book of Psalms, the psalmist says, God is our refuge. He really wants us to get this. He's the only one we can count on in crises. He's the only one we can put our weight on. He's the only one we can bank on. And I've said this for years, and those of you who have heard me speak over the years have heard me say this, and I've said it in preaching, I've said it in personal counseling. But listen, suffering and pain are not the worst things in the world. Crises are not the worst thing in the world. Everyone in the world goes through some level of suffering and pain. We don't all suffer to the same degree, to the same extent, or in the same ways. But you cannot go through this world without experiencing loss, without experiencing disappointment, without experiencing grief. Suffering and pain and crises are not the worst thing. You know what the worst thing is? Wasted pain, wasted suffering, wasted crisis. We do not want to waste this crisis of the coronavirus, this pressure on our economy. At the end of this, whenever that happens, whether it's in a few months or a year, when we get past this, we want to be better than we are right now. At the end of this crisis, we want to be more connected to God than we are right now. At the end of this crisis, we want to have God more as our refuge than he ever was in the past. We want to get rid of our idols. At the end of this crisis, we want to be more connected to one another, more compassionate, more sympathetic to those who have experienced pain and loss than we are right now. Make a commitment, friend. God, I want to be better at the end of this. Please do not let me waste this time while I'm socially isolated, while I'm in my home, while I'm on lockdown. Please don't let me waste this. Help me to come out better than I am right now. When we speak of God being our refuge, we mean God as our ultimate security. We mean God as the one we can bank on. It means that God is the one who will make our lives safe. And you know, there is a kaleidoscope of images that the Bible uses to describe God as our refuge. And if you combine all of these images together, you get some sense of what it means to have God really as our refuge. We read in Psalm 61, beginning in verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Part of having God as our refuge is making God your rock. David is saying, the one I'm building my life on is not the shifting sands of my investment. I'm not relying on another person. I'm not even relying on myself. I'm building my life on the Lord, who is higher than I. I find shelter in God. God is my rock, not prudential insurance. God is my rock. And the psalmist goes on and says in verse 3, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower." Here's another image. God is my strong tower. In the ancient world, people would build towers that they could run into if they were being chased by an enemy, and they were safe and protected. That's who God is. I can run into him. I can lean into him when I feel overwhelmed. And the verse goes on in verse 4 and says, "I long to dwell in your tent forever." Now, you might think a tent is a very flimsy thing, but remember, this was written in the ancient Middle East. And to invite someone into your tent was to say to that person, "I'm making a commitment to you that I will lay down my life to protect you. You've come into my space, you've come into my shelter, and I'll lay down my life for you." And that's what God did in Jesus Christ. He laid down his life to shield us from the fire of judgment, from Satan, from our own sin. He secures our souls. And in verse 4, "I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." Here's another image. God as a mother hen sheltering his baby chicks under his wings. So what does it mean in the age of coronavirus to have God as our refuge? You know, we cannot say as followers of Jesus that we'll be kept safe from catching coronavirus, that if we've trusted in Jesus, we won't suffer any financial loss, we'll never be unemployed, we'll never have any pressure. When the earth gives way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, the earth gives way under the feet of Christians and non-Christians alike. We all live in the same neighborhoods. Our kids go to the same schools as those who have not trusted in Jesus. We go shop at the same grocery stores. We're all subject to the same viruses that spread throughout America. We are as vulnerable as anyone else. And so we experience the same threats. Well, what does it mean to have God as your refuge? Experience tells us that, you know, we're not immune from economic downturns or illness as followers of Jesus. Anyone who has followed Jesus for any length of time can probably tell you a story. I can tell you many stories of God's divine intervention protecting me, physically protecting me from bad decisions, protecting me from my own sinful inclinations, protecting me from the evil one. But most of the time, our experience as followers of Jesus is like the story of the disciples in the boat when they went through the storm. The storm threatened to overwhelm the boat and to sink the boat. And they were struggling and they were frightened. but they had Jesus in the boat with them. And here's what it means to have God as your refuge. Whatever you go through, friend, the sacred promise of God is you will not go through that thing alone. God will be with you. He promises no matter what. If you get ill, if you lose your job, if you lose your investments, if a loved one gets ill, you will not face that alone. God will be with you. He makes that promise to you. You don't have to face the future alone. You don't have to face, you know, your illness alone or the loss of a loved one. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 8. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I would add to the list of height and depth and everything else, neither coronavirus, nor the collapse of the economy, nor unemployment, nor anything else will ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can take that to the bank, put your trust in the Lord, make God your refuge. And one very practical way to make God your refuge this week is to go online and find the prayer of St. Patrick. You know, this past week we had St. Patrick's Day that was not celebrated the way it has been for hundreds of years here in America and around the world. There were no parades. Everyone is taking shelter in their homes, practicing social distance. But many of you may know that St. Patrick was a missionary to Ireland in the 5th century, and he was a bishop. And he prayed a prayer that I would encourage you to find online and then to pray it out loud. And here's what Patrick prayed, and I'll just read one stanza. Christ, shield me today against wounding. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me. Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the eye that sees me. Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through the mighty strength of the Lord of creation. Now, Psalm 46 doesn't just tell us that God is our refuge. It goes on and says, God is our strength. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. One commentator, a great Old Testament commentator named Derek Kidner, I think makes a really helpful distinction between God being our refuge on the one hand and our strength on the other. He says that to be our refuge really implies outer protection for us, but to be our strength implies inner protection. The difference is if you broke your leg, if you had a cast on, that would be like outer protection. But once the cast is taken off, your leg muscle may be atrophied. You maybe need therapy to rebuild that. And for God to be our strength means that God from the inside of us, not outside as our refuge, but inside of us, strengthens us by His Holy Spirit. He enables us to continue on when we would throw in the towel. He enables us to resist temptation when we would just succumb. God enables us to have inner peace, supernatural peace, when we would be freaking out. To be strengthened by the Lord is not just to be protected by God or even to have God with us no matter what we go through. To be strengthened by the Lord is to be inwardly strengthened by God. As our refuge, God promises to be with us and to never leave us alone. As our strength, God promises to keep us from collapsing, from imploding. And I've seen this in one of my favorite passages in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Here's what we read. This is what Paul writes. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Paul is giving us an image. It's like he's saying, I've got an elephant standing on my chest. I've got so much pressure bearing down on me. And many of you have felt that over these last few weeks. There's so much pressure on you. You have the pressure of your finances and the pressure of your worry about your own health and the health of your loved ones. And there's all this pressure, the pressure of unemployment, maybe the pressure of mounting bills. And Paul says, what keeps me from being crushed like a soda can is not because I'm so tough. It's not my inner strength. It's God. It's God who is at work in me. God's strength supernaturally sustains us. And he says in verse 8, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. What keeps us going at this time is not our smarts. It's not our strength. It's not our smarts. It's not the fact that, you know, we know everything there is to know about coronavirus. It's not the fact that we're just practicing social distancing or that we have figured out the future. And listen, may I say parenthetically, please do not pass along all of the stuff that you're getting, you know, in your Facebook feed, all of these conspiracy theories and miracle cures for coronavirus and just drink this liquid and all of that. Don't pass that along. And please don't pass along all the words from prophets from around the world that they predicted this before it happened. And here's my dream and here's my prophecy. I have been a follower of Jesus for 45 years, and every time there is a crisis, there is a rise of prophetic words and the sale of books on prophecy. Don't buy them. They don't know any more than you do. We're all just perplexed at this time. We're all just kind of muddling through. Yes, we want to be as smart as we can be. Follow all the best advice that you can from the health department and so on. But it's not our smarts or our savvy that will see us through. Not our strength, not our smarts. And Paul says he is persecuted but not abandoned. It's not his social skills or his social network or the fact that we're so well connected to each other. We want to stay connected to each other, but it's not each other that will get us through. And verse 9, he's struck down but not destroyed. It's not our circumstances. It's not the fact that this will end in 2 weeks or that they'll find a miracle cure next week. It's not that the economy will bounce back. Paul says, what gets me through my crisis is God who is strengthening me. That's what I need. Not my smarts. Not my, you know, inner strength, not my social skills, not my circumstances. Friend, have you ever experienced the inner strengthening of the Lord? Have you ever said, you know, the only reason why I didn't implode during that trial is because of God? The only reason why I felt like I was kept up and I had some inner peace was the Lord? Have you ever felt that from God? Have you ever said, I never could have gone through that except for the Lord? You want to be able to say that during this crisis. Have you experienced God as your refuge and your strength? Some of you may not know, but Martin Luther, the great father of the Protestant Reformation, wrote his song that became the kind of battle cry of the Protestant Reformation, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, based upon his meditation on Psalm 46. Luther went through so much pressure in his life. It's unbelievable. He was hounded and persecuted. He was continually threatened with death. He went through a terrible epidemic. The Black Death was way worse than any coronavirus. It went through Europe when Luther was in his 40s. Many people died all around where Luther lived. And Luther also struggled inwardly. He was probably today we would call him clinically depressed. He constantly struggled with bouts of depression. And Luther found God to be his refuge and his strength. In a moment, we're going to sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," but here's where I'd like to leave you today. Friend, be honest right now. Would you say, yes, without a shadow of a doubt, God has been my refuge. God is my strength. If you do not know that God is your refuge and God is your strength, if you're honest to God and you say, you know, Rich, I don't know if I've ever really put my trust in Jesus Christ. I don't know if I've ever really rested entirely on him. Many of you may have said yes, you know, in some way to Jesus in the past, but it was always one foot on Jesus and one foot on your bank account. One foot on Jesus and one foot on, you know, other people or on your own smarts, on your job, on your retirement account, on your health. But many of you would have to honestly say, I don't know that I've ever put both feet on Jesus and said, I'm just relying on you alone. And friend, if you've never entirely trusted in Jesus, put both feet on him without any other, you know, securities, any other weight, anything else on something else, I'd like to invite you right now to put your entire trust in Jesus. I'm gonna pray with you, and there's a button on your screen. If you pray with me, would you click that button? It's just got a little icon. It says, you know, it looks like a little hand being raised, and what you're saying to me, you're communicating back to me, I'm trusting in Jesus right now. Let's pray together, and would you make this prayer your prayer? Just say, Lord Jesus Christ, today, I want to really know you as my refuge and strength, and I'm choosing to put my entire trust in you. If I'm going to be saved, it's only by your help and your grace. As much as I can, Lord, I believe that when you died on a cross, you died to pay for my sins. Help me to understand what you did for me better. And now, Lord, forgive me. Come into my life. I put my trust in you. Amen. For the rest of you right now, I would like to just engage you by having you open your hands and pray along with me. And look, we've all clung to something. We've all said, really, this is my refuge. This is my strength. And that's why it's so hard for me to lose this right now. I'm not entirely relying on God. For some of us, it is our job. For others of it, it's our bank account. For others of it, it's our health or the health of a loved one, the fear that I might lose someone that I'm relying on. And right now, what I'm going to ask you to do, if you have the power to do this and the desire to do it, is to open your hand and say, Lord, I want to release all of my false refuges to you right now. I just do that. So God, pray with me. Say, Lord, here's what I've been trusting in. The reason that it's so hard for me right now, the reason I'm so anxious is because I'm afraid of losing, and just confess that to God. I release that to you, Lord. But I say, God, you take it. If you want to give it back to me, if you want to preserve it, Lord, please, in your mercy, do so. But I want to find you to be my refuge and strength. I give myself to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you join me? And I'm going to ask you, even though you're watching, at home or wherever you are watching us online, would you join me in singing our closing hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God? And please sing it out, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Amen. We tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. What in the world shall fail him? It's so good to have you with us. I'm going to read a scripture in closing. I do want to just share a couple of announcements. Please continue to monitor our website for any updates and check out our social media as well as we try to offer encouragements to you during the week. I do encourage you to give generously to the church. For those of you who are able, just push that give button on your screen and it'll take you to our website. We're going to have our services at a slightly different time next weekend. Saturday evening will remain the same at 6 o'clock. Sunday morning will be at 9 o'clock, but we're moving our 11:30 service back to 10:30. So check us out next week and invite someone to watch along with you at wherever they are to join us in our services. If you would, open your hands wherever you are, and I'm reading as a closing benediction Psalm 91. Here's what we read. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. I pray that the Lord would have mercy on you, that you'd experience the supernatural intervention of God for you and for your loved ones. I pray that you might discover God as your refuge and strength, and that you would emerge from this crisis better than you were at the beginning. Go with God's peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.